Commander, can you hear us?
Aboard the International Space Station, where we're joined with our international crew from the Space Shuttle Discovery. Welcome aboard. Glad to hear your voice. We hear you loud and clear, sir.
Well, thank you so much for taking the time to speak with us. We've got a crew of wonderful school children here who are all interested in space, and we've got some members of Congress who are like big kids when it comes to talking to astronauts. I'm told that you're cruising at about 17,000 miles per hour, so we're glad that you are using the hands-free phone.
Mr. President, we go around the planet once every 90 minutes. It's quite a thrill, and it is very fast, and we see 16 sunrises and 16 sunsets every day.
That is unbelievable. Well, the first thing we want to do is just let you know how proud we are of you. I've got to say, especially once I found out that you're from Bellwood, Illinois.
President, it was a beautiful place to grow up, and I have a lot of roots that are still there.
Well, that's great. We are really excited about the project that you're doing. My understanding is that you are installing some additional solar panels on the space station, and that's actually going to increase the number of people that can work out of the space station. Is that correct?
Sir, that's correct. We've roughly doubled the amount of solar power available for experimentation and for supporting a larger crew, and we hope to go to a crew of six and a more aggressive experimental program this year.
Well, this is really exciting because we're investing back here on the ground a whole array of solar and other renewable energy projects, and so to find out that you're doing this up at the space station is particularly exciting. Can I ask, how exactly do you end up installing these solar panels? What's involved? Somebody want to give us a rundown on how you go about doing it?
Yes, sir. First, it comes up on a truss segment, which is about 5 feet long. We use a robotic arm to attach it to the end of another truss segment, and then once that's attached and bolted on to spacewalks, then we'll go ahead and unfurl, or actually deploy, the solar arrays in a position so that we can unfurl them from inside doing commanding through software.
About how long does it take?
Spacewalk, we put it all together, about 6 hours, but to actually do the commanding to actually deploy them out to their full length only takes about 2 hours.
Well, obviously, we're really proud about the extraordinary work that our American astronauts are doing. You are a representative of the dedication and sense of adventure and discovery that we're so proud of, but one of the things that's wonderful about this is that it is an international space station, and I know that we have our Japanese and Russian counterparts on board as well. We'd love to say hello to them and hope that that this is an example of the kind of spirit of cooperation that we can apply not just in space but here on the ground as well.
Yeah, it's an honor to have a chance to talk with you, Mr. President. We have a Russian crew member, American crew member, and I'm from Japan, and we have 15 countries working together in this wonderful project, National Space Station, as well as on the ground in space, and this really symbolizes the future of the scientific development of the world, and I'm just happy to be part of this.
That's wonderful.
Mr. President, we work together to everything. It's really, really important for us. and American, Russian, Japanese, Italian, and to everybody, people, all people, work in the space for peace.
Now, I notice you're bouncing around quite a bit there, guys. Are you wearing something to strap you down, or are you about to float away?
Mr. President, we're just holding on with our toes onto some handrails below us, and at any moment we could all just easily float up. And that's one of the fun things about flying in space. We get a chance to talk to a lot of kids and show them all the adventures that we have flying around. It's also, it's not just a lot of fun. It's a little bit tough on our bodies. We have to exercise. And so we get a chance to talk to a lot of schools while we're up here, schools all over the planet, to help inspire the next generation.
Yeah, I hear that you're going to be talking to my alma mater, Puno School, when you fly over Hawaii.
We're looking forward to that, sir.
All right, well, you tell them aloha. Listen, we've got a bunch of young people here. I want to see if any of them have some questions. Anybody have a question over here? Okay, hold on. We've got a young lady right here who's got a question.
As an astronaut, what do you eat?
Did you hear that question? They want to know what you guys are eating up there.
Backpacking food. It's dehydrated. We rehydrate it and warm it up. We also use have food similar to Meals Ready to Eat that they use for the military and that a few of us ate last year when the hurricane came through Houston.
Do you guys still drink Tang up there? I've got Bill Nelson here, and he says that's been taken off the menu. by the way, before the time of you young people, we used to drink Tang. We got a young man right here. Hold on one second.
Can you play video games in space?
Can you play video games in space?
We can, in fact. And, in fact, a few years ago when I was up here for 6 months, I had a video game that I used to play in my spare time. Unfortunately, we don't have much spare time. So we can. We have a lot of laptop computers. But for the most part, we stay real busy doing real work.
Tell us what kinds of experiments are you doing? Once you got the panel up, what kinds of other activities are you doing? Is it mostly just maintaining the craft, or are there certain experiments or projects that you're engaged in as well?
Well, sir, we have experiments already up here that we've been doing for many years, and we'll be able to double that with the addition of the solar array that our shuttle friends brought up. We do a lot of experiments on combustion, understanding materials, understanding how, you know, we're guinea pigs, so understanding how people's bodies change in space, and all this is in preparation for long-duration missions to Moon and Mars. And the exciting thing about doing science up here is we really don't know what we don't know, and that gives you the greatest potential for learning. And we've had a lot of cases where people have set up experiments, and we've conducted them here on the space station, only to find out that we've learned something new, something more about the fundamentals of the processes and the science. So it's a really great place to learn a lot.
Outstanding. Any of the young people have another question? This young man right here? Hold on one second.
Have you found any life forms or any plants out in space?
It's a good question. Any life forms out there other than you guys?
We actually did an experiment on this mission to take a swab or a sample of the surface of the EVA, the spacewalker's gloves, both before and after the spacewalk. And that was sort of a demonstration of the type of technology that we'll be able to use on the Moon and Mars for the same purpose, to try and see if we can determine what sort of bacteria or microorganisms are living in the various environments we're going to encounter. We unfortunately haven't really found anything here. I think we'll have much more success at finding new types of life and different structures when we go to places like Moon and Mars and moons of Titan and these other types of environments.
Excellent question. All right. We've got a young man back here.
What things did you have to study to be an astronaut?
All right, that's a good question. You guys are all extraordinarily trained. What if we've got some budding astronauts over here, what should they be doing? I'm assuming they better hit the books on science and math.
That's you got it just right. The one of the beautiful things about getting to work here is you can study just about anything that that you're really interested in. Science and math being a big part of it, but we have medical doctors, geologists, engineers, and physicists in the group here with us. So it's pretty much anything in the math and science field. We've got a couple of school teachers here with us, so studying education as well as the math and science. But there really is room up here for everybody. The important part, though, is to work really hard and do well in school. It'll make a difference in your future.
And what about fitness requirements these days? You know, some of us remember watching The Right Stuff where, that's pretty impressive. is there a particular
fitness requirements are still
Go ahead. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
President, the fitness requirements are still there. Matter of fact, the International Space Station just recently incorporated a new fitness machine. It's a very, very fancy workout machine you see in a gym, but it's called the ARED, and we can do a lot of good exercise on it, leg exercise, strength training for your legs as well as your upper body. So particularly for the long-duration folks, it's very important to maintain your muscles in good tone and help you readapt when you get back on planet Earth.
Excellent. Okay, there's a young lady back here had a question.
When you say you exercise, what do you do?
Well, we have a couple of different exercise machines up here on the space shuttle we brought up. It looks like a bicycle that you would find in a gymnasium, so we can use that. And they have one here on the space station. And the other machine, you can do all kinds of stuff. You can do squats. You can do curls. So we have a lot we can do. We also have a treadmill, so you can go ahead and run up here in space.
Okay, we've got another question from a young man. Hold on.
Do you know how many stars there are in the space?
Asking how many stars in space. I'll be interested in hearing the answer to this one.
Aboard the International Space Station, we can look down and see our beautiful planet Earth, and we can also look up and see the rest of the cosmos. And we can see that there are so many stars out there that it's very hard to count them all. And we can see that our Earth is a very small planet in such a big universe. And it's just really amazing because it gives us a deep perspective of that we have to really take good care of our own planet, and that our own planet is just a small place, and we have the whole rest of the universe to work together in an international sense and go explore this whole universe that's in front of us and all the discoveries that we'll make together. So maybe we'll someday be able to count how many stars that we have, because we're starting to go to the stars as human beings together. And that's what's really exciting about serving aboard the International Space Station and flying up and down on space shuttles, is that we're part of that great adventure. And we need you kids to study hard, because we can't do it all by ourselves. We really need you guys to work hard and do whatever you're supposed to do and do it well, like Tony said, because there's a whole universe in front of us.
I had a quick question. Does weightlessness have an impact in terms of your ability to sleep?
Sir, we just arrived here just a few days ago, and it's taken a while to get used to, for me personally, missing a pillow. You're used to laying down on a mattress and having a place to rest your head, and so it's taken a while to get used to that.
Well, I know the kids got a chance to ask some questions. I want to make sure that if there are any members of Congress who've got some questions that they're interested in, that they've got a chance too. Okay, hold on. This is Kay Bailey Hutchinson from Texas.
I understand that you are doing experiments on salmonella and watching those organisms and how they react and grow, and we've had some salmonella problems here on Earth. What do you think you will be able to learn from the environment in space that maybe you couldn't learn here on Earth?
Actually going to have a bit of a hard time answering that question. We do indeed have an experiment called the National Laboratory Program Vaccine Experiment, in which salmonella, in which certain microorganisms are exposed to salmonella. My job as an astronaut was basically to turn the crank and activate the experiment, and then after about 4 or 5 days, turn the crank again and deactivate it. I'm not exactly sure what the scientists are going to do with the data back at home or with the samples. We are returning, however, 8 big vials of samples of these cultures with microorganisms and salmonella, and let the scientists go to work.
This Bill Nelson, he knows a little something about this stuff.
Hey, guys, I wish I were up there with you. You are just getting to the point where it's really looking like a full-up national laboratory where we can really do the experimentation. When will you have it full-up, ready to go, where we can then reap the results of that $100 billion investment?
Nice to hear you again, sir. The International Space Station has already been delivering some of the science we promised. Where we are now is an Expedition 18, our crew, we're making the turn from 3 people to 6 people. The next crew that comes after us, a few months after we get replaced, we'll have 6 people on board the International Space Station. So that's why we needed the solar power. That's why we needed the second toilet and other things, so that we have a room and facilities for 6 people. And once we have 6 people, we'll have enough time and energy, solar power, I mean, to run all the experiments that we can. And then it's just a matter of getting enough experiments up and down from the space station to really reap on that science. We've already been delivering, and we got a lot more to come. And like Sandy said, there's a lot of things we don't know, so there's some really interesting discoveries out in front of us.
Do any of the young people have any more questions? Hold on 1 second. We've got one here.
Do you love doing your job?
I asked if you love doing your job.
Yes, it's wonderful to work in space. Ever since I saw Apollo 11, the lunar landing, when I was 5 years old, I always longed for going to space and work. And here a dream came true. I had to study hard and work hard. But I'm so happy to be here, and I'm loving living here and working with so many wonderful people here.
Just a couple of logistical questions. How long did it take from the time of launch? How long did it get? Does it take to get to the space station?
Well, Mr. President, let me answer that in two Two ways. First of all, it takes us about 8.5 minutes to get to orbit, and at that time we're going 17,500 miles an hour, but we're in a bit of a tail chase with the space station, and it's approximately about a day and a half to 2 days later that we actually rejoin with the space station.
Okay, so 8 minutes just to get into orbit, but then you've got to basically try to catch up with the space station and match up so that you can lock it.
Sure, that's exactly right.
Okay. Anybody have any more questions? Hold on 1 second.
What's your favorite or the most interesting experiment you're working on up at the space station?
Okay, do you guys have a favorite experiment right now?
That's a really tough question because they're all interesting in different ways. Mike and I were doing a flame experiment where we're trying to help the scientists on the ground understand how fire behaves up here. There's all kinds of reasons for that. So that was interesting because it's sort of an unusual environment to intentionally put a fire. I think one of the ones I like the most is an experiment that we're doing on ourselves to try and understand how our nutritional state changes and our biochemistry changes, and that'll help us design food and understand a little bit more about the processes that the human body undergoes. That's probably my favorite one. But there's all kinds of interesting things in all of the experiments.
Now, can I ask you a question? Were you tempted to cut your hair shorter while you were up there, or is it fun in weightlessness?
Well, that's a really good question because it is a little bit of an overhead to take care of long hair here. I think, you know, ideally a short haircut's the way to go, but quite frankly, on me it wouldn't be so nice, so I kept it long.
I think it's a real fashion statement. Hold on 1 second. We've got another young man back here.
How much spare time do you have on this day?
How much spare time do you have? It sounds like you guys are pretty busy.
They do keep us pretty busy up here, and we have a very tight schedule that starts from the moment you wake up until the moment you go to sleep. But they give us a little bit of time in the morning to get yourself ready, get yourself cleaned up, have some breakfast, and the same in the evening. So we can use that time to either call down to our family and friends or maybe even check our email and see how things are going back on Earth.
Now, that's interesting. Does email work pretty much the same between the space station and computers here on Earth?
Mr. President, as just about everybody on the planet knows, is that the email is a pretty important way for us to keep in touch with each other. Even though we're really far away and traveling really fast, we still use email also. Unfortunately, we only synchronize our email once or twice a day, sometimes three times a day, so it's not as fast and instantaneous as we are used to on the ground, but even so, it's a really useful way to get in touch with other people. In addition, we have kind of an internet over voice over internet protocol telephone, so it's really nice that we can get a chance to talk to our families, not 24/7, but when we do have good satellite coverage, we do get the chance to call home, and that for those of us who stay up for a long time, that's what's really, really important to us.
Excellent. All right, well, I know that you guys probably have a whole bunch of stuff to do, but I think that we may have one more question from a member of Congress. Hold on 1 second.
Thank you very much. My name is Suzanne Cosmas, and I actually represent Central Florida, the area that includes the Kennedy Space Center. So I want to first thank you on behalf of all Americans for your service to us and for what you represent in terms of America and our supremacy in space exploration, along with our international partners, and for what you're doing there at the International Space Station. I had the honor of being at the Kennedy Space Center last week when you took off, and it was a fabulous, absolutely fantastic launch, and so I wished you adieu from there, and now I'm wishing you hello from here. I want to thank you again for your service and tell you how excited I am to be representing the Kennedy Space Station in that area, but also for what you do that inspires people to be interested in the science and technology that has led us to this pioneering place where you are. And the things that we anticipate that we will be able to reap from your service, I'm very thrilled about, particularly the idea, as the President has said, of alternative energies and the fact that you're using solar panels in space, what we're hoping in the long run that you will be able to, from space, use solar energy to come back to Earth. And again, I'm thrilled to be here and very excited to have the opportunity to talk to you. And thank you so much for your service to our country.
Well, I think that all of us echo.
Well, thank you, ma'am. We appreciate that, and each one of us here is very lucky and honored to be right where we're at here today. So the honor is all ours. We're honored to be here doing this great work.
Well, I think all of us echo the sentiment. We are extraordinarily proud of you. We're so grateful that you took the time to speak to all of us. I know these young people are pretty excited to be on a direct link with astronauts in space. So. Does everybody want to say goodbye?
Bye.
All right. They're all beaming. And we appreciate you guys. So look forward to seeing you when you're back on the ground. God bless you.
Thank you, Mr. President. On behalf of the Space Shuttle Discovery crew here in the dark blue shirts, I want to say we're very honored that you spent some time with us today. It meant a lot to us. We thank you very much, and from one Chicago guy to another, I wish you well, sir. And
for
the closing comments, I'll pass the microphone off to Commander Mike Fink, the commander of the International Space Station.
Thank you.
And Mr. President, I'm not from Chicago. I'm sorry about that. But my crew and I are really happy to have a chance to talk to you and share our adventure with even more people. It's pretty impressive what human beings can do when we work together constructively and not destructively, and that's the mission of the International Space Station. So thanks for joining us. Thanks for flying with us at 17,500 miles an hour today, and we're glad to have a chance to share it with you and the distinguished members from Congress, as well as all the kids out there. So everybody, thanks again for joining us.
Thank you, guys. Bye-bye.